7 o'clock.
And I call to order the meeting of the Papillion RD Board meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure we use for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report, with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. With that, agenda. Quorum call, please.
Bailey.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Bowler. Runwald.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Pinsky.
Here.
Peter.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Venture.
Here. I have an absence for Tim Fowler. Before we adopt the agenda, I want to add item 8 for reports, the Finn report by Austin Hill. So that'll be before the Natural Resource Conservation report. So with that addition, I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Runwald.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Pinsky.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Beverly.
Yes.
And Shepard.
Yes. And 5, adoption and consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Conley.
Aye.
Runwald.
Aye.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Pinsky.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Yes.
Bailey. Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
And yes. I have here in the file the affidavit of proof publication of the meeting notice for the record. Item 8, agency associated reports, presentations, Austin Hill.
All right.
Finn report.
Why
Austin is talking to the folks, we are a participant and a sponsor of Earth Day Omaha. down at Lincoln Legislative Concert, I had the opportunity to sit in the education information session for at least 3 different NRDs. Austin presented a short presentation about our NRD, and I asked him appropriately before Earth Day on Saturday to come in and talk about what our program is. So
yes,
you're on
outreach presentations. As you guys probably know, when it comes to kids and society, we've kind of gotten further and further from the natural world and kind of why our natural resources are important. Kind of happened in one generation. Kids these days are spending on average 13 minutes outside compared to being inside and electronic usage somewhere between 6 and 9 hours. Same time at schools, their opportunity to go on field trips, to go to parks, on the forest, those kind of things that we all probably enjoyed growing up. We don't have as much access to that, as well as kind of unstructured outdoor play. So I think it's really important for us at the NRD to get out to the schools, to get to them, to talk about the importance of our natural resources. One of our educator ambassadors here is Finn, and he's a barn owl. He's 3 years old. He actually lives in those back areas back there. If you listen to him, especially this time of year, he's kind of looking for a girlfriend, so he'll go say hello to you. But he's just a great example of just one of the few ways that we get out to schools and we can kind of make that connection, that kids can actually value our natural resources, our environment. So we do a variety of different topics, from groundwater to surface water. A lot of times we do kind of incorporate animals because it does kind of strengthen that connection. So yeah, he's one example. I guess, want to see the other one?
Yeah,
he's a temperate bird. The reason we have him is kind of nice. We can talk a little bit about conservation. Lady found him when he was fledgling, learning how to fly. He doesn't know how to out. He doesn't know how to hunt. he's not really afraid of predators. When I come in the apiary, sits on my shoulder, a pirate or something. So we care for him. Any questions about it?
What is it again?
He's a barn owl.
Barn owl.
So what we try to do is try to make sure it's a native animal. Try to make sure it's native to eastern Nebraska so that these are animals. You talk to kids, they know all about the Amazon. They know all about the Antarctic. I had a kid last year ask, what's that bird with the orange bill? So there really is a disconnect to our natural beings. I'll bring out one more real quick.
He doesn't want to talk about it.
I've been to a couple of classes when you see them kids just play.
What do they do?
He goes to hundreds of different classes. So I would go with it. It's awesome. The kids, and they and the teachers love it because he takes the full. You know what I mean?
That'd be a lot of fun.
He does.
I remember had a baby one in my garage one time. I was trying to get him out of there before he killed himself. A baby barn owl. He's about that big. He's sitting from the garage.
His name is Sawyer. He's an eastern street owl. This is an owl that's really common to Omaha. He's from Nebraska. We do roughly 300-350 outreach visits. We're out just about every single day into schools. 15,000 kids directly and indirectly. He's an eastern screech owl. You guys probably have them in your backyard and you don't know. They make a pretty distinct call. It's like a high-pitched hoarse noise that you've never heard of. Kind of a kind of noise. Right now they're very vocal, very social. Mm-hmm. Picture, ear open at 95. He weighs 5 ounces. He didn't actually weigh 12 ounces. An interesting call back. But he can put down some mice.
Austin, how many animals do you carry around?
What happened was I worked at Fontenelle and I have a lot of animals in my own personal collection, and then coming here it was just the perfect kind of transfer. I had a lot of native reptiles, amphibians, and then I also certified. Probably, don't tell my fiance, probably 35. At one point they were all housed at my house, but thankfully we actually have a room devoted to animals. It's just me. How's it here now?
You'd mentioned in Lincoln that on bad weather days, sometimes you have to, for all these folks, to bring them home. And
thankfully, we have a weekend keeper that comes out. But if it's below 15 degrees, if it's above 100, they might. They're beautiful, but they smell. And they can find space.
All 35 of them?
Oh, no, thankfully,
it's
not
all of them.
Not that I
could have. But you have snakes too, don't you?
A lot. That's my favorite, personally. I've got 8 snakes that we've got in our collection. Lizards, we have a lot of aquatic turtles. Try to keep the aquatic theme for a lot of our animals. Amphibians are an animal really closely tied to water quality. So it's a good thing to kind of talk about the importance of protecting our water, managing our resources. Because if you see a little specific here, we might establish in Omaha that they haven't found. So thanks for that.
All right.
Well, that's about our education or about the animals?
It's a visual of where we put our education dollars, and certainly appreciate your effort above and beyond normal job description to care for the animals and teach the kids, our younger generation, who will eventually occupy this board.
Yeah, you know, we're informed, educated citizens.
Decade or two from now, but no, I appreciate that.
Thanks, Austin.
Yeah, thank you.
Real quick, do schools request when you go out, or how does that work?
We're pretty popular. Typically, schools will request us. That's too much. We're pretty popular. One big thing is we have the advantage that ours are all free of charge. Teachers are really limited in money, who they can bring in. A lot of these places, $200, $300.
And Austin has even though he has a busy schedule, if someone's requested him to go, he will make time to go. So we've had schools that have requested him, and he'll make time for him. So
website or
yeah. So if you go to our education, click on our Cultivate brochure. It shows all the list of things we do year wide. We do a lot of tree programs, events, festivals.
Okay, cool.
Typically.
And he does a good job controlling a class of kids, too. So I've
seen the hours do it. Rambunctious. Once I see an owl.
So when our treasurer signs off on check for live mice, now you know why.
Yeah,
that
was a pro order. Yeah, I'm sure that's a weird one to get. Yeah, they're expensive to feed. All right, guys. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Austin. Appreciate it.
A little safety.
All right, moving along. Additional natural resources report, Neil Jensen.
You got to try and match that.
And I've seen some of his presentation, and he does an excellent job with the kids. Okay. I guess the big thing that we're dealing with right now is still flood effects. And so I'm going to talk about some of the programs that we have available. The one is the Emergency Watershed Program. This is a program to, if we have damage along roads because of cracks, a lot of trees that have lodged up against bridges, we can help cost share to clean those trees out and help armor the road so that it doesn't totally wash out. This program does require a sponsor. Individuals are eligible, but you still have to have a sponsor. And part of that sponsor's responsibility, the big thing, yeah, they're paying 25% of the cost, which some of that can be in-kind service. You could do some of your own work. But you're agreeing to maintain the site after it's done. And so that's always one of those things, you know, when we start saying, you know, protecting an individual's home from the crick is, well, who's going to maintain that site after we go through this program? And so it's not a easy thing to answer that, yes, we'll do this, because that could be expensive to maintaining that site over time. But that program is there. I know we've used it twice in the past when I worked in Washington County, so it's been around for a long time, that program. Another program that works more with just individuals. This is for the Emergency Conservation Program. This is actually a program of the Farm Service Agency. It's our sister USDA agency, but it will work with individual farmers, ranchers. Some of the things that they'll pay for is taking debris off of fields, sand that could get deposited in a flooded area, fences that get washed out, scour holes. I'm hearing some information on fields where we're getting scour holes about as deep as back on the 2011 flood, you know, 8-10 feet deep in a guy's field. And so you got to be able to push that back in and try to make that field productive again. Also, we can do repair on terraces and waterways that we've washed out. They've just kind of started the application process. FSA, some of them have started last week, but some of them started at the beginning of this week taking applications for this. So, but we've already started going out and looking at some of the sites already. Probably the big thing right now I'm thinking under that program is where the flooding was, the scour holes and the depositing of sand in the fields. Another program, EQIP, that you heard, we have started a new initiative because of the, not necessarily flooding, but part of it's flooding, but part of it's just the snowstorms. A lot of livestock have been lost due to flood and the cold weather. I'm thinking Dodge County, there was one person lost all their pigs in one of their barns. you got to dispose of those correctly. And so through this program, we can assist them to make sure that they get them disposed of correctly. That means you can bury them on site, but you got to be 4 feet above the water table, and you got to bury them at least 4 feet deep. So you got to have a site to be able to do that. You can have a rendering truck come in, and then there's a few of the waste dumps that will take animals. Not all of them do, but some will. And so those are kind of the three options, but we can assist to help pay for that cost to get these disposed of properly, and instead of somebody just throwing them in a creek and letting them wash down a creek. So I know we've already started approving contracts under that part of it, so we've moved pretty fast on that. Those are kind of some of the programs we have on the flood. There's certainly a lot of other things that are out there, you know, through FEMA and other programs. I guess on the next page, Conservation Stewardship Program. That's a program with our farmers, ranchers, where the operator can come in and do things like nutrient management, more management type practices to try to improve their bottom line and cover crops, things like this. We've got a sign up. May 10th is the deadline for this year. It is a continuous sign up, but with that deadline, what applications we have on hand, we go ahead and start ranking them and approving them. This year, nationwide, we've got $70 million to be able to, or se- sorry about that, $700 million that we're looking to approve contracts under this program. This is actually the largest conservation program. It's much bigger than even Conservation Reserve Program through the Farm Service Agency. And you can see for Nebraska, we've got over 5.6 million acres in Nebraska under this program. Last thing I've got on here, we hired a biologist position at the Blair office. This is a position where he's going to come in and do wetland determinations, but he's actually doing them across the whole state. They're trying to set up a team that will do wetland determinations, which is a good thing because normally our staff were the ones doing this. So once this team gets going, they will do all of our wetland determinations out of our NRD, which frees up my staff then to work with producers. So any questions?
The emergency conservation program, do you have any idea how much money is in that for Nebraska? I assume it's broken down by state.
I know.
Not enough.
Over a week ago, probably never. They had over 80 applications across the state, and I sent out information to all of the county engineers and roads department, and then wasn't hearing anything from them after a week, so then I started calling them and explaining what this program does, and I'm expecting all six counties in this NRD submitting projects, multiple projects. A lot of it, I think, is going to be bridge abutments that they're washed out, and so we're probably going to possibly have a city vendor may submit an application. One of the things under this program, you know, even though we can work on some of this stuff, there's a point where the creek, like levees, is one thing we can do if it's protecting the house. Well, don't ask for anything along the Missouri, because anything over 400 square miles drainage, we stop. It's like it's not eligible through us. You know, you're probably talking to CORE or FEMA at that point. You know, we've done houses along creeks inside the city of Blair. Some of the sites outside, you know, out in the urban area where the creeks are along. People built too close to the creek. And, you know, I've seen where it's totally washed out their backyard and their upper deck is just hanging there. So what we come in there is we try to rebuild that bank, but then we armor it with some pretty good sized rocks so that it don't wash out again. But like I say, it requires a sponsor. And
okay. So. Any questions, comments? Jake, you know, thanks for your help and whatever flood recovery folks need in Nebraska. Appreciated.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be at it for over a year.
All right, item B, Nebraska Associated Resource Districts. Report on the meeting in D.C. Myself, Director McCormick, and Marlon and John went. Tim, you got anything you want to highlight first, and then I'll highlight other things?
Well, I think I was most impressed with John and Marla and yourself that in Washington they had delivered a concise message, and it was unified at trying to figure out a way to improve CORE approval, speed that up, and it was delivered to every representative and senator and their staff multiple times throughout the week for the 3 days. You know, just the impact of such a large event that, you know, 100,000 CFS coming down the Missouri, joining 200,000 out of the Platte River Basin, that is, and it's not over. I think that was another message we heard loud and clear was this event's going to continue well into probably June. So that's about all I have to add.
Right. One thing about going to D.C., you see a lot of, it's a dang circus, so I'll be straight with you. A lot of lobbying, a lot of activity, schools on, and you wrestle with the pedestrian traffic, but it's all good. The sessions we had, a variety of speakers, renewable fuels, ethanol, a good program to try and get that going with E15 and whatever they're wrestling with in that. We don't need to go there, but it's a good overall, from different folks, NRCS was represented. The EPA was represented for 404 permits. And the message I got, and even with the group sessions with the congressional staff and Congressman Sass, Smith was there, and then
Fortenberry?
Yeah, well, we met with the joint session. Anyways, the message was the reform is needed by the Army Corps of Engineers. There are illustrations of time and so on, and we're hoping, like Senator Fisher, for example, she was there with the whole group. CORE reform, we can't wait 6 years for approval. That was strong. I want to commend John and Marlon meeting with these staffers that we got some language, and I don't know if you're going to go into that.
I sent an email that I could go into. I'll go into it a little bit.
Okay. Anyways, we lobby. We talk. We discuss. We set real examples of what's going on in Nebraska, and I think when we get that close to the staffers and they understand firsthand what's going on and it's not easy to get things like an act of Congress done, but I want to commend Mr. Winkler and such for hoping to get an act of Congress that will benefit the district tremendously. And you can provide details later, but anything else you want to add for the report?
We appreciate the directors going with us. When we do the congressional visits or even the legislature, they like to see the elected people too and not just our faces that they see all the time and hear our stories, but also that you represent, obviously, your sub-districts, and they like to hear that. So we've every time we go there, we tend to get lucky on who we meet and who ideas that are generated, either if it's in a cab or sitting at the airport. It's amazing who you meet at the D.C. airport. But so we had some ideas generated. We shared them with both senators, staff, and then also the congressional delegation on a couple of issues. One's getting reimbursed for work that we have done on the PL 8499 program levies. That isn't possible now, but we've got some language that the senator's staff, Senator Fisher's staff, has sent to the appropriators. That emergency supplemental is stalled in the Senate right now. And in fact, they're taking a two-week recess before they even address it. So it'll be stuck there for another couple of weeks. But and then we're also working on some more proactive kind of Hail Mary, double reverse Statue of Liberty stuff that we hoped we can get in there. And that's paying for 100% federal reimbursement or federal payment for future flood control projects. So we're working on that, too, with not only Senator Fisher's staff, but with our congressional delegation. So those are things that we have learned from talking to not only our government relations consultant, but also studying past emergency appropriations from like Hurricane Katrina, where we learned a lot of language that was in those particular bills and how we can apply them to the floods here. And so we're going to take that route and see what it how it works. But so all of them have been sent to the Senate Appropriations Committee for review and for consideration. And the House delegation has said they will back us in conference committee. So it's just a matter of if we can get the votes to make those work. So.
Thank you. I forgot to add, Congressman Fortenberry's office provided this handout. I gave a copy to each of you. And Neil, I don't know if you have a copy of this, but we'll get you a copy too. Federal Disaster Assistance for Agriculture. It's a good summary from the Congressional Research Service. If you get any calls from your constituents and so on, it should be covered by this. But I want to thank Fortenberry's office for that. Item C, legislative report, Hush Blackwell.
I have that today.
You have
yep.
John.
Ron is at the chiropractors, I think, of that. So, as reported early, LB 177 advanced from general file to select file. It was a vote of 28 yeas, 9 nays. Of the 12 that were either present and not voting or excused not voting, approximately 8 have indicated support for the bill. So we're probably in the 35 to 36 range on number of supporters. So we advanced a select file. We're not scheduled again until we're not on the schedule next week. They're still trying to get through general file stuff, so it'll probably be the week after before the select file comes up. So we'll just continue to educate the senators, make sure we continue to get the support we have. Dr. Bradley stopped down one day and did some work with us in the rotunda, and so we appreciate that. And again, anytime elected people are there with us, it helps tremendously. So we'll continue to push the bill, and we've worked with the governor. In fact, one of the people we met in the D.C. airport, Milo and I, was the governor. And so we had a chance to sit down with him and talk briefly about the bill and the bill's benefits, and we cleared up some misconceptions that he had. And so we rode home with him, and he seemed to be okay when he got off the plane. So we'll hopefully knock on wood that everything will continue to go in that direction. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
No questions? Moving on to
the bonding thing. Is there an increase in the amount of money in the bonding, or is it just an extension of the time?
It's extension of the time. So how the statute will exactly read as it is, the only thing is the extension of the time. And it's for a five-year period. The committee passed an amendment for 5 years instead of 10, which still fits with what we would like to do. And so we agreed to that. And so everything's the same except for the time.
How much money is left on the bond?
About $25 million is left of our 1 cent that we have available. So that's all we could do. It doesn't start over if we get brand new pennies. It's just, you know, and it has to stay within our 4.5 cent mill levy. We can never exceed that, so we have to use exactly what we have available. If with or without bonding, we have to stay within that 4.5 cents.
All right. Item 9, subcommittee report, EPO, Director Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda number 9A, Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee, 9A1, Bids for Big Papio Creek Levee Culverts Project Phase 2. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Graham Construction, Inc. in the amount of $3,146,227.15 with the construction of the Big Papio Levee Culverts Project Phase 2, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as performed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments from the public? Staff, directors, Director Grunwald.
One of my concerns here, and it's going to be a constant battle because we just don't know where we stand financially versus what the impact of the flood is, right? And if we can delay spending, I'll just make this generally across the board, things we don't really need, I'm thinking we need to be really tight on it. So until I get some more clarity on exactly where we stand on some of the spending here, I'll probably be voting no on this, but I just wanted to express my opinion that we got to be very tight with what we do because we just really don't know what we have to spend.
Any other comments?
And
Mr. Jeff.
Yeah, I always tend to agree with fiscal conservatism. However, I think what I heard the other day was that this needs to be done because we're liable for any further injury to these culverts and so forth, and then we could be at risk if we don't do something about it. And so I would vote for it.
Now, was this the one that has 60 days on it?
It does.
Can we just delay this for 30 days until we get a better understanding where we stand?
In fact, we just received our 408 permit today. So that was a question on Tuesday, and we received the 408, so we're ready to go with the Corps. So we won't need to wait 60 days, I don't believe. Is that correct, Martin? Okay.
So we can wait 30 days without issue. It's not going to change the riprap pricing, anything like that, right?
Not going to affect the bid price.
Not going to affect the bid price. So we can wait 30 days.
How's the bid good for 30?
What's it? 60? Let's find out where we're at. Give ourselves 30 days.
We're not going to have any additional information than we know are now in 60 days.
Oh, it's not? Okay. Well, I'm looking at it completely across not just this project, but every project.
There's no benefit to wait on this at all.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Roll call.
No.
Yes.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Yes.
Thank you. Item 9A2, Nebraska Machinery Company, CAT Financial Governmental Lease Purchase Agreement. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute an agreement with Nebraska Machinery Company, CAT Financial Government Lease Purchase Program for the annual lease of two CAT 257D multi-terrain loaders and one CAT 305 E2CR hydraulic excavator for a total of $16,500, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as performed by district legal counsel. I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors. Roll call.
Staff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Skinsky.
Yes.
Keeser.
Yes.
Reese.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Hi.
Grunwald.
Yes.
Manager.
Yes.
Item number three, vote on local disaster emergency declaration. Recommendation that the following resolution related to the emergency declaration for the March 2019 flood be adopted. And I think that's all on the board, and plus we had it at the subcommittee meeting, so I'm not going to read all of that. For the part, I shall move.
All right. Committee moves. Any comments from public? Are we required emergency services? Staff? Before I call for director comments, I offer comments from anyone voluntarily. We've heard what you said about budget. Mm-hmm. Budget discussion is going to be intense, but later. All of you, I'm sure, are getting comments from your constituents, from your fellow workers, from everyone saying, what are we going to do about flooding? I want a general elevator speech, 2 minutes of what each one of you feels about our flooding and the direction that you feel we should go from here on. I'm just going to go down the table and start with Director Teaser. It's a general thought on the disaster and what and that I don't want to nitpick the particular policy because I've already told you folks, if you have a question about the language of our 15.4, that comes at a later date as well. We're not going to change policy now on language, whether it should be all and thus and therefore and so on. But just generally on the support of what we had to do, I guess I want to feel the support, where you feel on that support. I'll just start with Director Teaser. And
move down. Well, living in the flood area, and I think I was the only director that was west of the Elkhorn River during the entire event, that I believe I called John. John asked me if I would support this, and I said, absolutely, this is a catastrophic event, and anything that we could do to move things along. We had people in Valley getting 6 foot of water in their homes through Union Dyke Breach. King Lake, under 6, 8, 10 foot of water in various areas. It was a catastrophic event, made me sick. And anything that we could do here to expedite the repairs, I would certainly support under any circumstances. And I want to commend, I'd first like to commend John Winkler on his actions. I thought he did a superb job in coordinating the events, particularly his PR, radio, and TV media. He did an outstanding job in relaying what was happening and the activities that the district was taking. And I was very, very impressed, and I commend him for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Bagley. I know you knew, but now that you've seen what floods can do, any thoughts on what we do as a mission?
Well, I'm learning a lot as I go, obviously, and to the point on 15.4, I made my thoughts clear as I talked to Lottie on the phone, and John, again, I commend him for calling me, and I in no way was trying to get in the way of what work John had to do or anybody at the NRD. I understand now. And I think you understood my concerns with it, you know, with how that went about. But I'm glad to move on, and I think everybody was hopefully understood where I was coming from. I won't speak for the other directors, but I had a good conversation with John, as I said. And I'm looking forward to getting out with Rich and Ted and, you know, getting out in the rural areas and kind of get an eyeball view instead of the great pictures, a lot better on my iPad than they are on the phone. But when things get a little bit slowed down, I really am looking forward to getting out and seeing beyond sub-district 7. So,
and that's important.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
As a newcomer.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my
comment. I don't know what flooded in your entire district, but...
Well, you go up north of Dakota County, there's quite a bit underwater right now as we speak. And we're just up there, Carrie and I were up there looking at it today. There's thousands of acres with water on it. So there's quite a bit up through there. There's a lot of water on the Blair high grounds. It's north of Blair all the way up toward Tecama. It's still wet there. Of course, Arlington got hit really hard. And they can't get Fremont from Arlington anymore. And you can't get west out of Blair on Highway 91 yet because those bridges are going to be out for quite a long time. So there's quite a bit of damage there. And as far as 15.4, you know, I've never thought at all that there was anything untoward happening regarding that. It was just that some of the policy issues weren't followed as they should have been, in my opinion. But I'm not looking for any recourse on this or anything. It's all like to be included when there's something like that.
Director Sapinski, you're a relative newcomer. What do you think about flooding and how the NRD reacts?
I received, by my latest tally, 21 calls. 6 were for some sort of help, agricultural help. And the other calls were absolutely glowing combinations of Marlon's work and Mr. Cleveland's work and Amanda's work and John Linkler's work. Just absolutely very happy people in Western Sarpy County that were extremely pleased with what the NRD has done and what was doing round the clock. As most of you know, I lost a home in Director Weiss's district, but we'll just chalk that up to a 500-year flood and, you know, we'll rebuild. But a lot of good work was done, so I appreciate that.
Great. Director Weiss. You got a personal with his water too, didn't you?
Yeah, my area got hit pretty hard as part of the Bellevue off at the wastewater treatment. Director Spinski's house, Chris Lake. I mean, it's just a mess over there. New highway destroyed, bridges broke. Yeah, it's a mess. And I've gotten a lot of calls. I went out every day just to check levels and check with the people at the barricades and things. So, yeah, it was bad. It's still not fixed. It's still a work in progress. And, you know, my hat is off to the NRD. I thought John and everybody involved is doing a very good job. As far as the declaration, it was my area, and I got a lot of people were kind of wondering what was going on. I got surprised on an email about the declaration, so I didn't know. I couldn't tell them. It was just one of them things, but I understand. I get it. When time is of the essence, you know, I'm a 24-hour response guy with my businesses too, and kind of like you snooze, you lose. But, you know, as far as the 15A, I would like to see the verbiage stay like it is, but maybe on the next go-around, this was an important event, and we may not ever see this again in our lifetime. And I would like to see it done. Let everybody on the board have a chance to yay or nay or put in their 2 cents, whether it's your district or not. We are all part of the board. And I would like to see everyone be a little more active on a decision like that. But like I said, my hat's off. I understand everybody was under fire. I understand things were going on. And I think everybody with the NRD, including John, did a very good job.
Thank you.
Mr. Fred Conley.
Well, my district wasn't directly affected by the flooding, thank God. Didn't get any calls, but I followed it intensely over TV. I thought John and the staff did an excellent job of articulating in the emails exactly what was going on and the coordination that was necessary all the time. And so they're really, John and the staff needs to be commended in terms of the reaction of a first-time event, to my knowledge. And so I've heard the comments of the other directors, and I'm sure we may never see this again, but if it does, I think we'll have communication with all the board directors. So I think that's my comments.
Dr. Bradley.
Thank you, Mr.
General comments about flooding and how your experience on our board and what we reacted to.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. But first, a point of clarification. There was Sapinski's house in Weiss's district. You didn't live there, right?
No.
Just what a party there.
Nope. As the flood all started to unfold, and I was on that conference call where the weather service was talking about how it was all shaping up and ready to break, and I'm in the geography department at UNO, and it was quite apparent that it was getting ready, and it was historic. It was going to happen, but could anybody imagine what was going to happen? And my district was mostly dry, except when the Missouri flooded and shut down the Mormon Bridge. And so I wondered how much that was affecting the businesses in Florence, which is in my district. And in some ways that might have helped them, you know, if they were, you know, exiting off there and so forth. But normal business might have been affected. There was frustration as everything's taking place and wanting to help and wanting, you know, what could I do? Didn't get as many calls as maybe some of the other directors. My district might have been, you know, dry, more dry. So that's a good thing. But one thing I could do, and maybe go down to Lincoln and lobby for LB-177 and for the, you know, other future flood protection measures. And hats off to, you know, the general manager and everybody from the janitor to the security guards, everybody, you know, that all associated, all the staff, we all came together. And once, you know, thing happened on this 15-4, and I tried to be a little bit of a mediator and try to get this before us. Not to say it was all me, but it was a good suggestion, and the chair was open to that, and that's why it's before us. And we, you know, move on from this. But yes, we all came together.
Director McCoy, the man of experience and building things and such.
I played and worked in those creeks a long time, so. My district was relatively unscathed because, as was outlined in the heat of the battle, John was able to articulate to the World Herald what a robust flood control plan does to the Papio Basin and how that saved quite a bit of property and prevented damage. That was one fortunate piece of that. But even in the heat of the battle, you were able to, the staff and Marlon, John, you all articulated and communicated and kept the public aware of things. And like we heard in Washington, there's two types of levees, ones that haven't been overtopped and ones that will be overtopped, I guess. Yeah. So Mother Nature bats last was another one, I think they said. So we've never seen an event like this in our lives and hopefully never will again. So it was overall a good response in a critical time that was hectic, a lot of alligators swimming. So, and there's more to come. So keep up the good work, and that's all I have to add.
Grunewald, any additional comments?
Oh, of course. Again, nice job by everybody involved. Let's hands down, John Winkler, everybody. When it came to doing the job, you got out there. But this is a policy discussion. And that's why I had requested an item be added so it could be strictly a policy discussion. So in that vein, if you remember on Tuesday night, I had a discussion with Tim Fowler. And we brought up how important it is that when an emergency is declared, that's imperative that all NRD taxpayers are represented. It's really important. It's what we're elected to do. We know 15.4 was not followed correctly. You really didn't have a quorum of directors. Calling individual guy, you did not have a quorum of directors. Calling people individually over time, that doesn't work. It says clearly, all available directors, and an attempt shall be made to contact each director. That's not supposed to happen after the fact. It's supposed to happen before the fact. And how many of the letters state, I know Ted said he was available, I was available, Danny, you were available, right? John, I know you were. Mm-hmm. How about the rest of you guys? If we had decided to have, I know you by then you had already voted, but if they had come back and said, hey, we need to meet at 10 o'clock Thursday morning the 21st, how many of you could have made it?
You would have been both to come get me?
I would have.
Oh, okay.
You do. Not a problem. So I look at this, and I'm sitting there going, hey, four of us got dished, plain and simple. I don't like it, being one of the four. I wouldn't have liked it if I wasn't one of the four, period. So you waited. Wednesday night, I got an email, and it didn't have a copy of the emergency declaration that somehow everybody else or at least seven of you had a chance to look at the day before or were told about it. I wasn't told to be available the next day because there was a possibility. Those things kind of concerned me. And then another point that came up the other night, I believe you brought up, Tim, you said, hey, how do we know when the emergency's over, right? Or one of you, somebody brought that up. And I'm sitting there going, is that?
That wasn't my words, but it's paraphrasing.
Close enough? Okay. The answer is, emergency declarations need to be specific. And when you're specific to a spending item, then you can know when let me just put it this way. A proper declaration would have funds requested for up to X dollars to address a situation Y on structure Z with the expected results. That way we know when the emergency is over. That way we know what our expenses are going to be. He may have to come back for more. That's fine. But if it's, hey, I need $1 million to take care of 613 because we need to fill in a hole and we expect it to take care of the situation, okay. That's what it's supposed to say, not flooding rivers, that doesn't cut it. It's not enough specificity. Again, I've covered people being available to the board. I've covered that. Ultimately, there was no approval. This emergency declaration was null and void because of that.
Well, you're done. That's wrong.
And because it was not null and void, it never happened, and all expenditures should be returned. So this resolution to reaffirm emergency declaration, it has no legal weight because you're voting on something that's null and void. And but ultimately, because you didn't follow 15-4, you usurped people's right to representation. And when you do that, legitimate consequences need to follow. It's all about reducing ambiguity, increased accountability. That's what taxpayers deserve. So this is all part of proper governance. So I'm going to make a motion to censor the GM for failure to follow board policy.
You're out of order with that.
I'm going to make a motion to censure you, Mr. Chairman.
To censure me?
Yes, sir. You were all part of it. Failure to follow board policy.
You are out of order.
Do you want to explain the validity?
And motion, Mr. Chairman, for you to be stripped of your chairmanship.
I need to do what?
Be stripped of your chairmanship.
I don't know how to react to that other than you're on the board. Huh? It dies for lack of second, even if it were valid. I have, since you're done, because I told you you're done.
Excuse me, sir. You're so wrong. Point of order, sir. I have the floor.
You are so wrong.
Point of order, sir. I have the floor.
No.
You telling me I'm done is not to do it. But I am done, sir. The floor.
Yeah, you are. You've made too many statements that are so wrong. We didn't have a quorum. We had 7 members sign off, and I was the only one that physically signed off. It was all verbal. So we had 7 of the 11. So that's a quorum. Quorum is 6. We have one more. When you said the dollars must be returned, is there any other board member who wonders what the hell that term means? How do you return dollars we already spent? That's a rhetorical question because you can't answer that. And I don't know why you even brought that up. So those are 2 things, and the rest of it, we're not going to waste anyone's time on it. My general thoughts on the flooding, in particular this policy, there's only 2 ways to get this stuff done in a hurry. The chairman can call a special meeting. The rule about a special meeting is we call not less than a third day, exclusive of weekends and holidays, after the day that email notice to directors of such meeting may be called to convene only at the principal office here between hours 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. On a day other than Saturday, Sunday, or NID holiday. This flooding event happened so fast. Staff installed the mechanism of emergency declaration, which is here, and was properly and duly admitted. The language of our policy 15.4, and I asked anyone, if you want to change a word or 2, we got a process for that. Director Teaser has been on the board the longest. This is, correct me, but I don't think there's 15.4 emergency has ever been installed, implemented, and any other than that disaster that we had. So this is certainly the extreme. This is the extreme, and nor have, in my tenure on the board of 21 years, have we ever had a special meeting called by the general or by the chairperson. So this is definitely an unusual event. With what was happening, the waters rising, the levee, the Union Dike, and so on, there is no other way other than to declare the disaster and get John and the staff rolling. This is a ratification of what happened. I want everyone to have their 2 cents worth, and I appreciate what most of you said, and my view on the flooding, I'm very, very proud when I see the news reports, and I don't think I've heard NRD on the news more in the last month than I have in 20 years, in a sense. So you guys are doing your job. Thank you very much, all of you. I had the opportunity to take a drive to as far as I could on Dodge Street, as far as I could on Center Street and Q Street, where the bridges were washed out. And thank you, the Highway Patrol, those who are guarding those bridges. One idiot lost their life because they went around it. Blows my mind. I also went down to Bellevue on Highway 370. I saw Marlon out there. I said, what are you doing, Marlon? You're supposed to be recuperating. So Marlon and Martin and Bill Warren. I told my wife there's over 120 years experience right there fixing that dike on the railroad track that's caved in. And it's a Saturday, morning, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and Bill didn't leave till I think 8 o'clock until it was fixed. That thing we can't put in a policy. We can, and we can approve it, and we'll ratify it, but that kind of work ethic, we saw from a simple education standpoint to working on a Saturday with an excavator that we have and hauling riprap and busted up concrete wherever they got it from. I mean, to me, that's tremendous. We're not done yet. What you guys did to repair 613 in 6 days, we couldn't have had a special meeting. What would we have said? Yeah, go ahead. Of course, go ahead. So this emergency declaration, my God, we saved days and who knows how much water still being flooded. So it had to happen. I'm glad it happened. I want to commend staff publicly for it, especially everyone had their hands in it. So I appreciate that. Roll call.
Yes. What are we
on the vote on the
declaration? Ratifying this.
Ratifying
the change in the rules?
No.
Just the, not changing this, the rules.
The declaration.
Okay.
The declaration.
Well, yeah. Point of information.
The subcommittee.
Subcommittee.
Mr. Chair, can I say one thing?
Sure.
You know, we've heard everybody on the board, and I'm sure to the man, everybody agrees with what everybody had to say, and it's good. And I'm kind of proud to see people on this board so concerned that maybe if they didn't get a vote for whatever reason, that they're speaking up. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
I agree.
I understand Director Grunfeld's opinion. I understand everybody else's opinion. I know what he's saying, and I understand what he's saying, and I get it. But an emergency declaration is what it is. It's definition of emergency is one thing. It means now. And that's why they call it that. Whether we did it this way or this way, so be it. It needed to be done. So I just want to say there's no right or wrong. I don't see any right or wrong. I see some things that didn't get followed quite correctly, but it all had the good intention. So I just want to get that off my chest. So
well said.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Someone voted. I think.
No one voted yet.
Okay. Shoot.
Okay. Read two again.
Start. Yeah, I responded. I said yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. McCormick,
check the tape.
Response.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Benlow.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely yes. Item four.
Item four. Fiscal year 2020 Urban Cost Share Programs. 4A, Urban Conservation Assistance Program. Recommendation that the application from Gretna for $30,000 and Sarpy County for $24,000 for a total of $54,000 be approved subject to funding in the FY 2020 budget. And I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Edwin.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Nay.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Item 4B, Urban Drainage Way Program. Recommendation that the application from Sarpy County for $303,115 be approved, subject to the funding in the FY 2020 budget, and I so move.
Public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Caesar?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Dunwell?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Tinsley?
Yes. Yes.
Item 4C, Recreation Area Development Program. Recommendation that the applications from Bennington for $50,000, Fort Calhoun for $50,000, the Village of Homer for $14,500, the City of Omaha for $50,000, and $50,000, Flanagan Lake Playground and South Sioux City for $14,669. For a total of $229,169 be approved, subject to funding in the FY 2020 budget. I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors,
Director Bagley.
Questions? Just to verify, this will be discussed in the budget later in the year. This just okay. So the fine tooth comb gets out later on.
Yes.
Is that right?
Correct.
If you have any amendments you want to offer, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Item 4D.
Can we vote on that?
See. We didn't vote on it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I threw them off.
Roll call on item C.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Dunwell. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
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 Item 4D, Trails Assistance Program. Recommendation that the applications from Gretna for $82,670, Omaha for $146,209, SID 503 for $244,026, and South Sioux City for $164,505 for a total of $637,410 be approved, subject to funding in the FY 2020 budget. I so move.
Public comments? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Bagley?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
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 And that completes the program project.
Thank you, Director Conley. Item B, Finance Expenditure Legal Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the April 9, 2019 meeting of FDL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, attorney fees for Missouri Verbiage Levy Certification Account 01035604392 over 110%. Recommendation that the Missouri River Levy Certification attorney fees for that account be allowed to exceed the budget amount of $190,000 without further board approval, and I so move.
Public comments? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Runwell? No.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Kinsky? Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Please?
Yes.
Eggman.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Number two, maintenance channels and levies, maintenance materials account 01035914477 over 110%. Recommendation that the maintenance channel and levy maintenance material account mentioned earlier be allowed to exceed the budget amount of $570,000 without further board approval, and I so move.
Public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Please?
Yes.
Eggman?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Item 10, Treasury Report Program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick comment that during the full flood, and it's sort of, we're sort of still in that, Well, I know we're in the treasures report, but as the flood took place, the frustration, I said, it felt, seemed like I was, you know, one of the people in the bunker and had to come in here and sign checks and so forth, keep things running. And so I sort of felt good about that. And as far as I'd recommend to the board, please pass items A through J on the treasures report. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Director Donnelly. Any comments from the public? Staff? Directors? Roll call on the treasurer.
Brumwell?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
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 Bradley?
Yes.
Donnelly?
Aye.
Ange?
Yes. Item 11. I'd like to have a motion to go into executive session to discuss real estate transactions.
Pending litigation.
Pending litigation.
Moved.
Second.
Seconded. Roll call on going to executive session.
Beth.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Binsky.
Yes.
Caesar. Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Beckley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley. Aye. Brunwald.
Pending litigation on real estate. It's pending litigation on real estate.
Yes.
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 I move that we go out in the second.
It's been moved by Director Teaser. And second by Director Conley. Roll call. I didn't quite hear the rule.
McCormick.
Yes.
Kapinski.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Yes.
Begley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Brunwald.
Yes.
Staff.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move that the resolution on the board be adopted.
Second. Been moved and seconded the two resolutions, both A and B, is that correct?
Yes.
Item A and B as presented on the board be adopted. Any comments from the public? Could we read it? Anyone want us to read it? All right. Staff, any other comments from directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Begley.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Brunwald.
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Yeah, I got staff.
Yes.
Understood.
Thank you, Brett. I'm 12, Chairperson's Report. We've had a request from Director Grunwald that people have the option of putting their email address and phone numbers on our website under their bio. So I'm going to offer that as an option to our directors if you want. Obviously, the phone number for the district is on there. Our business cards have our own phone numbers and emails, but certainly you're welcome to edit your information accordingly.
So do we, Jessica sent out an email today saying we needed to pick our photos for the website.
Jennifer, yeah.
Maybe we just respond to that by saying, yes, please include it.
If you want.
Okay.
I'm certainly not going to require it.
Okay.
I had a little bit of trouble with picking mine, not that. And finally, just it's the way it's designed. You're supposed to just click on the one you like, and then supposedly they know it, but that didn't happen. So I just finally verbally, had to tell her the fifth picture.
You're the whole row.
Yeah. No, it's three. Hold on,
it's three. I thought I went through 2 weeks ago. I'm thinking I was fine. Said,
no, McCormick, Sapinski, and who's the other one?
You're the whole.
Begley, and you haven't read this in the policy, but after the end of April, the chairman has a prerogative to install any cartoon character that so fits your personality.
I can't wait for that. Can I stick one for you too? Or?
I said yes.
All right.
Talk to Jennifer if you have any. We can draw whatever we want. We'll Photoshop, right? Let's have fun with it. But no, those three, and then the group picture is still waiting for Director Teaser to speak in Photoshop, right? Has that been done yet?
No, we haven't.
No, all right.
We will now, this next week.
All right, I'll add Teaser's caricature to the group photo. No.
Thank you.
Another item on the chairman's report. You all have a new map. Where's Eric? Eric, where is it? Did you? You couldn't fit too many cases in your electric vehicle, could you? But,
I got about 10. They delivered the other 60 later this afternoon.
All right. Well, grab some if you want. I do want some. These are 2000. And say on there the date. Didn't learn by not putting the date on. They're March of 2019. The old one is 11 years old, so enjoy the map. They'll be going off the bike shops and wherever else. One Earth Day, we'll have it there, and so on. And just general, as all we're on the trails and such, a lot of dotted lines in on that map that we hope to assemble, or see to convert to a solid line over time. I still want to create an ad hoc committee for priorities. We earlier approved applications to consider for budgeting some trail programs. As you'll see on the map, we've had a lot of segments that philosophically we want to connect those segments. We finally connected the South Omaha Trail to the Phil Club Trail, for example. But there's a lot more, and at some point I want to get an ad hoc committee together and say, hey, board, I think these are ones that we should do next. But maybe when the flooding stops. With that, 13 general manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached is some personnel miscellaneous items. We just received a thank you note from Senator Fisher's staff for meeting with her and her staff to discuss our projects and programs right at kind of the height of the flood or right before, so we did make time for her. We did receive a thank you note from Washington County residents Lori and Mike Shred, expressing gratitude to Zach Nelson, Kurt Scott, and John Hinton for working through the cold, wet conditions to get their water flowing again. Perfect comment. We tend to take our modern conveniences for granted till they're not working. So they've lived there since 1991, and they said they've experienced nothing but respectful and professional services from the NRD, and their letter is attached. Also attached is the report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal property, as well as the current ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. The watershed meeting for March was canceled. However, the meeting is next scheduled for April 25th, 2019. And just want to take this opportunity to thank the board for your kind words, but obviously it takes a team. And I want to offer my sincerest thank you and highest praise to the NRD staff, especially in this event. Marlon Martin, Bill Warren, Jim mentioned 120-some years of experience. I mean, these guys are the utmost professionals. They know where every crack and crevice in these levees are, where the weak spots are. They're out in the middle of the night traveling on levees that they probably shouldn't be traveling on. We're flying in helicopters. We're doing everything that we can do to make sure the citizens are safe. And I can't speak highly enough of them. And not only do I rely on them, but I know just a number of the other partners that we work with rely on all that experience and knowing where everything is and what we're doing. So, you know, hands off to you guys. And the O&M staff, obviously those guys are out there doing incredible work in the field. Amanda, Lori, Eric, Paul, Zach, Gene, Carrie, Tracy, Nicole, Randy, and I know I'll forget some of them, the other people that help, but other duties as assigned. Everybody, no one complained about picking up where we needed to get the job done. And so everybody, all hands were on deck. It didn't matter. You could call somebody at midnight, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It did not matter. Texts, phone calls, emails, everything was answered. Amanda and Lori actually volunteered time to go to communities and to meet with individual citizens to help with the FEMA process in the district or without the district. So they were volunteering their times on Saturdays in the evenings and to going out and try to help people. Totally above and beyond the call of duty. Kyle Wynn, he's a volunteer fireman for UTAN and for Waterloo. He's out rescuing people when he's not working for the district. There's a couple of YouTube videos of him pulling people out of their homes during the flood. And so that's just kind of the people that we have. Jennifer, she coordinated the various media, and there was a lot of media. If there wasn't radio, if it wasn't TV, if it wasn't the World Herald, it was national media, CNN, all of those folks. Papers from California. I mean, there was a lot of folks calling and wanting to know what was going on, and she handled that tremendously. A number of NRD employees, including myself, had homes and families in danger. I know Amanda's family have moved in with her for a while. Rich Teaser, Kevin Sapinski, and Pat McAvoy all had homes that were impacted by the flood or could potentially. Nobody left their post. Nobody wanted to go home. Everybody stayed until the job was done. And so that speaks volumes about the kind of commitment they had. No one even mentioned it. And if it was brought up, they said, we'll be fine. We got a job to do. We're staying. And so everybody stayed. From the beginning to the end, it didn't matter if you were the governor, state senator, congressional person, a mayor, city councilman, core, whoever, from the citizen that needed a response or somebody that had an inquiry. Every communication we had was literally answered in minutes. Very few, it took an hour, and even fewer took several hours. But everyone was contacted within that same time frame. And it doesn't matter if it was me or any of these people. Anyone needed help, anyone had a question, whatever, we responded immediately. And I've been to numerous community meetings. I was just at a meeting today with the SID and then Chris and Hanson Lake, and they all commended the NRD on our response. And they said, no one responds like that. It doesn't matter who you are, and it didn't matter what time they called. They said, you guys responded, you were out, and you were providing at least some answers, and if you didn't have them, you were getting back to us. So I can't thank the employees enough. Unprecedented event, and this organization performed better than anyone, including the Corps, including the city, counties, you name it. These guys were there, and it was because of all that experience and all the policies and the resources that you give us. And I sent you an example from Joe Reby, one of our survey guys, who trained up Marlon on some picture taking, some GIS, but it's providing them the technology. And literally, those pictures are going to probably save this district $2 million. Just because we have the technology and we have the staff that cares about what they're doing. And so I've always said this is the best group around, and it is. It truly is. And everyone should be proud of them. And I appreciate all the nice things that were said, but I leaned on them a lot. And none of them let me down. Not one. And from the guy from Randy who takes care of the building to you name it. And everybody was there and everybody was willing to help. And there wasn't one request that I made that anybody turned down. I said, that's not my job. That doesn't happen here. And so it's a really good testament to people that you have working for you. I know that there is also on the GM report, there's some additional, if anyone wants to have additional conversation on the emergency declaration or the emergency declaration policy. Nope. Also, there's a report on the flood emergency purchases per the policy. It's in your packet. On March 21st, Union Dyke Emergency Repairs Cooperation Agreement for Initial Repairs, U.S. Corps of Engineers, $1.2 million cost. March 21st, 2019, Union Dyke Emergency Repairs, 47B Sand and Gravel cost to be applied to NRD Cost Share Agreement, Western Sand and Gravel, $375,000 quoted, $315,900 actual. March 29th, R16 levee breach repairs, change order to existing contract, Graham Construction, $408,862. And March 29th, 2019, flood recovery project partnership, private home water well testing, or water testing, immediate payment of our cost share was $7,000 to Midwest Laboratories. So those are all the report on the flood emergency purchases. Those will be updated as additional purchases are made according to the policy. If there's any questions, I can answer them. I know Marlon has a ton of pictures he would like to share, or some pictures he would like to share. And they're amazing. They're devastating, but they're truly amazing of what occurred. So, Director Roman?
Great job there, John. Just point of information, Neil, one of the things I noticed, I forgot to ask you earlier, was if a band structure is underwater, the bin's probably covered, but the contents are not. Has that changed at all? In other words, the grain in?
That would be a farm.
Thank you. Just checking. Appreciate it.
And just one other note, too. I know Lindy's here from Fire. They were tremendous in helping us get that breach fixed in R613. We thank you for that. They let us use their boat to get out there and do some surveying and took the contractor around. And so I'd be remiss to not mention you. I mean, they were there the whole time. They offered their services as soon as the flood. Other contractors did as well as vendors. So, but we took Fire Up because of your activity along the 613 levee. So, Marlon, I'll give you the floor.
Well, before Marlon takes it on that
immediate payment of NRD share of these well water testing.
Yes.
I thought it was free. For
it
the
is.
Homeowner.
That we paid for. Those are paid. Right. Okay. And Lower Platte South and Midwest kind of gave up some too. So, yeah, those were free.
How much damage was there to the Union Dike?
So the bid for Union Dike was $1.2 million. That was
that
the
our share
no. That's the Corps pays 80% of that. Okay. Ours is 20%.
You had to turn it off on the side. Because
it says on the next page. I'm just looking. Yeah,
no.
$1,200,000 toward the estimated $6 million.
Yeah. No. No. What was the?
So that's getting me confused.
No, and it wasn't $6 million. It didn't come in at $6 million. Yeah. It was. Yeah. 1.2.
Oh,
that was their estimate. Was $6 million.
Done.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, that was
okay,
their estimate.
Okay.
And then the contractor came in at like $1 million. Yeah. 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 We were thought it was going to be $6 million too. My heart fell off. Yeah, that was the estimate. Yeah, no, that was that. Thank God they didn't look at the engineering estimate when they bid it.
All right. You ready, Marlon?
I've got 10 times as many pictures as Austin has animals. So, but I don't. I'm only going to show a few here.
Quick question. We're still not through this flooding situation. Everybody agrees with that, right? As you go through there, can you just point out where you think the potential for reoccurrence happens if it's appropriate here? Can you do that?
Potential for reoccurrence.
If the flood comes back in, if we're going to be fighting runoff from the north, some of these are going to reoccur, right?
They could. I'll try to address that.
Okay. Thanks.
Depends on the level.
What I'm basically going to show here is kind of concentrate on the areas we had some breaches in emergency repairs. And so that's there's a whole lot more photos, but this will give a start. This is Union Dike. Union Dike, for those that don't know, runs from Valley to Fremont along the Platte River in Douglas County and a little bit of Dodge. And we're up near Fremont here, and right in here is a breach that occurred. The Platte River is over here, can't tell, and water's running out of the Platte River into the floodplain out here. We had overtopping of basically this 1,000 feet of levee here, and it breached about 300 feet. Go ahead, Bill. This is just another photo of that. Here's that breach and the water running out, and here's the water that basically follows the UP Railroad and what used to be the highway, now Wrightsmith Road, right into Valley and then on down, and it doesn't enter back to the Platte River is the one thing until you get way down in Sarpy County. It really, this floodplain all leans over and drains toward the Elkhorn. So out of the Platte into the Elkhorn rather than back in the Platte. Kind of an interesting. Go ahead. This is what it looked like on the ground, 300 feet across here. Water was still running through here, not real rapidly in this picture. The water had gone down considerably. It, of course, was as high as the levee and where I'm standing right here, 300 foot across. The thing, when it goes through, it actually scours. There's a 35-foot hole right here you can't see under the water that it just washes out as water rushes through here. Go ahead. This is the fix, and this is where we had the Corps come in, and this is where the emergency work came in to approve the contract on our share of the Corps work here. They did it. We paid 20% of it is our agreement. And essentially, they pushed a lot of sand in here and then faced it with rock, broken concrete and rock.
Where did the broken concrete come from?
The broken concrete came from Lincoln.
Did you have to pay for that, or was it just the trucking?
No,
or?
It was. I do not know if they paid for it, but I'm sure we paid for the trucking. Yeah. And so this was about $1,000,002 and 300 feet here. Football field. The thing is, of course, being 35 feet deep, it took a whole lot of sand and riprap. Go ahead. Well, this is the picture just this week, the same rock there, and the grass is starting to green up, but it's a pile of sand on the back here. and they kind of got us a maintenance road through here. This, by the way, is an interim, what they call the initial repair. It's not the final fix. In this initial repair, they brought it up to within 3 feet of what the levee should be. So it's a pretty good repair, really. And, of course, is an area where it's a little lower than the rest. So if we get the same stages, of course, it's going to go over here again. But the pour will come in and do the final repair. We just don't know when. They've got a list a mile long right now for Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Montana, South Dakota. And so they are, they'll get here hopefully this year, and it'd be topped with soil and rearranged some. But primarily this material will stay. So this was the initial repair. Going on to the next project, I want to talk about this is down then on our levees along the Missouri River, and I thought I'd throw this map in here. It's pretty small, but it gives you just an idea. This is Offutt Air Force Base right here. This is Hayworth Park at Bellevue, Highway 370 crossing. The R616 levee comes along the Missouri River right here down to where the Papio Creek comes in. And that's what this is, Papio Creek. The Platte River is here on the bottom. This is Hanson Lake area over in here. And so there are two levee systems here. The one is in the red here and really protects this area down here. Normally get dry, I am now. This is where.
That's about all the water. That's
yeah.
Where
yeah, that's weird. Thank you very much.
You and Rubio.
The new Highway 34 crosses right here, and you'll see that in a couple photos here. That was built, of course, put in about, it was under construction in 2011. I think they finished it in 13, so it hasn't been there very long. But this levee system protects that. There's also there's a Salvation Army down here, Wilson Concrete Plant. This used to be the Arcadia plant. The area then to the north, which is on this side of the Papio Creek, is the area where Offutt is located, and this is Omaha's Papillion Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant right here. Treats all of the sewage that comes out of Omaha and all the surrounding communities west of 42nd Street. So the reason I wanted to point this out is that these two different levee systems, what we are primarily going to be improving and raising when we do the project that you awarded last month to Graham, is this segment along the Platte in the Missouri and then along the Papio Creeks on both sides. That was all built in the 1970s. This segment, which we call just R616, that carries up and really protects the treatment plant and Offutt is 616. That will not be raised. In this flood, this levee, 616, was not overtopped. This segment down here along the Missouri Platte, Papio, and then the Papio Creeks that were built in the 70s were all overtopped and just totally overwhelmed by about 2 feet. And the reason I mentioned the other night that if we would have had our improvements in place, they're all going to be built to this standard of this R616. So if all of this had been built to that standard, we should not have had any overtopping down here from this flood. And what flooded Offutt and what flooded the treatment plant, you'll see from the pictures, was not a breach in the levee. It was from just plain being overwhelmed with 2 feet of water over the whole thing. I'll show you here in a minute. So just a little background there. Go ahead. This is the wastewater treatment plant. So I'm looking north here. Here's their primary clarifiers. What this is showing is the beginnings of water going over the top of our levee that's right there in front of the treatment plant.
That's Papio, Marlin?
That's the Papio Creek right here. And the Missouri River is up over here. So the Papio and the Missouri meet right off this photo. This little strip of land that you see right here, a little brown area, that's 616 that never got over top. You can see what's happening to this levee right here. I'm going to turn around to the next photo, and this is what it looked like coming over the top of that levee. Here's all the area, the Platte River's over here, the Missouri back here. Here's the Papio Creek. This, you can't even see the levee on this side of the creek because it's totally covered with water, just overwhelmed. The thing that's sticking out of the water is a bridge that's up in the air right here. These levees up here, underwater, water pouring from this area and here over the top and moving and flooding back up toward Offutt. This is coming directly into the treatment plant right here. Next photo. This is Offutt. And if you look at the, you know, there was going to be one thing. Go back to that map with you real quick. Three back or so. Yeah. If you look, this has got blue all. And this is what we depict as what the floodplain would look like and what would be flooded if these levees weren't there. If you look, here's their runway and here's the end of it. Here's their big hangar building here. This is how far water gets. Now go three forward. And it's amazing how it's about right there. And I mean, we had this coming over the top of those levees. If, again, if they'd have been up high enough, I don't think this water would be here. But it was just that much over the top of those lower levees that were built in the 70s. Flooded their big hangar here. Next photo. And the end of the runway is sitting right out here. Of course, they can't even get to the runway is one of the problems. Their taxiways are underwater. Even if you could lift off, you can't get a plane to this runway. That big building again back here, and of course, a number of buildings underwater. Go ahead. This is just another shot down by the treatment plant. This is kind of that high ground that you might have noticed some of those. But the water, just, I mean, it wasn't going over in little spots. It was the whole thing, just, I mean, for miles, just over the whole. Go ahead. Well, I'll tell you what happens. Go back to that other photo just a second. What happens when the water goes down? Well, all this drains out of the Papio Creek, but now the levee is holding the water back here in the floodplain and keeping the treatment plant flooded, keeping Offutt flooded, keeping the roads all flooded. And what do? It's all flooded, and they're going, get the water out of here. The creek's down. The river's down. Well, we looked at maybe what we ought to do is breach this levee right in here, one side or the other of this road, and drain all this water out into the Papillon, out the Missouri River and down to Kansas City. So we could dry this area out and get the flood water down. Well, we contemplated that. We had support of senators, governors, others to breach this levee. The Corps said, we never breach levees. You shouldn't do that. But we go, well, Derek, well, we need to look at this. So we studied hard and go to the next photo. And this, again, compliments again to Fire Engineering because Lindy here and Bob Gregolinas with FIRA and Paul Woodward and I sat in here one night after getting a charge from General Manager Winkler saying, should we breach this thing or not? What do you guys think? And we sat down, and I noticed on the whiteboard in the library here, this stuff is all here. Here's the drawings, the computations, the numbers, the estimate of what it'd take to repair the levee if we did breach it, how wide it'd be, how quick it would fall down. And what it finally came to, we called the general manager at
11:59.
At 11:59.
P.M.
We started at 7, 11:59. We called John and said, we don't think you ought to breach the levee. And the reason was, with our culverts draining the way they were, we had watched them a couple of days, and so on, we estimated that it would take 3 days, just if we breached a hole of reasonable size, a couple hundred feet, it'd take 3 days to drain it out, but it'd only take 5 days if we just let it all go down through the culverts that do normally drain rainwater out. And 2 days really wasn't worth the risk of putting some patch back into the levee and something breaching again later. And so we called John at midnight. And then
I called the colonel, and he goes, thank you. That's one of the only levees in our entire system that wasn't breached.
Yeah.
And he goes, we didn't want you to tear a hole in a perfectly good levee. And so I got a call from several congressmen who was lobbying me to breach the levee. And I go, isn't this a change of events? I'm usually calling you for something. And I go, why are you calling me? This is our idea. And they go, well, people have told me you're the only ones that can do it. So we're calling you to do it. And then when I called them back and explained the situation, they go, well, thank God that you guys sat down and figured this out. So we would have done something that – in the end would have been a big mistake, and these guys saved us from doing that. So
actually, we got water off of Harlan Lewis Road in 4.5 days, so we weren't too far just by allowing the culvert. So I think we were pretty pleased with what we did estimate, and very, very glad, as John mentioned, that we
have the record show that
perfectly good levee.
Have the record show that Olson Associates acknowledging this decision.
Yeah. Oh, Olson.
And the Corps. The Corps was extremely happy. That was that's the best I heard the colonel's voice in a long time.
moving on. This is we did have a breach, though, right near where that highway I was showing you, the highway goes over on that lower cell, the area where the highway goes through. So this isn't affecting Offutt or the wastewater plant. In fact, the wastewater plant is going up the path. It was just across the creek, so at the top of the map here, and Offutt, of course, up here. So, but we did have a breach in this lower segment. It actually is where a county road crossed over, and it was a weak spot. We found that a lot of the erosion we had was actually where we have, you know, gravel on the top and so on. A lot of that rock washed better. I'll tell you, there's just nothing like grass. And that's what this whole levee is grass for taking damage from water. It just does one heck of a job, vegetation. So this was just a small breach, 100, and I don't think much water really passed through here. Actually, you can see my helicopter here, I guess, but not mine, the one I flew. It's actually flowing back to the river here. So it was helping drain this area south of the treatment plant. Go ahead. That road, I'll go back there, and I'll show you. Yeah, this road that went over the dike that was La Platte Road actually went into the 30 cabins we bought a couple years back after the 2011 flood. We bought 30 cabins on the Iski property down, Iski Park. And their road was washed out here. Their road kind of helped cause this breach. There was, you know, the county road is a little bit lower, I think, too, you know, over the years. The maintainer goes over and grades the gravel. Anyway, here's the fix. Here it is on the ground, here again, one side to the other, just 100 feet. And this didn't have a 30-foot scour hole. It was amazing. It was just, I was really surprised. It's like hardpan. When they built this, they put some soil in this level. But being at the county road may have gotten a lot better compaction and so on, too. Anyway, It's just, you know, about 10-foot high levee here. We brought in fill. Go ahead. And the trouble was accident. You know, the truck one way in, we found another way out. And they just had small pieces of equipment here, packing it in and moving the dirt around. But it was a pretty small space to work in. Go ahead. And this is what it looks like today. Here's that road over the top. Is back there, and we've got some new rock on the breach area that went from basically where my truck is there. So this was something we did on our own because the Corps, I guess, decided it was not high enough on their list to come in and repair like Union Dyke. It wasn't, you know, flooding out a lot. It was just flooding the highway. Close to the road, of course. It's close across the bridge with 92 on 29. Go ahead. Oh, this is looking the other way. There's that highway, 34, that's going over. The thing is, this water picture was taken yesterday, and you can still see the water. This is where those cabins were, by the way, in these trees. I'm going to point out that's where they were. But there's still water all over the field and out here because the river's not down below flood state. It still is. And we're hearing it's going to be coming up more this week. So we're not sure. Go ahead. Now I want to shift to the Platte River and our other project, Western Sharpie Levee, that was completed in 2015. This is where we had the ice jam. We actually brought the explosives contractor to town to blast this ice jam that formed the afternoon of the 12th, I think. And you can see, I just took a picture with one of the guys there, the chunks of ice. I mean, this river's covered. Go ahead. It's right at the mouth of the Platte and the Elkhorn. Here's the Elkhorn River, which really dumped the ice here. It's Elkhorn ice. And up this through here, this is the Platte River coming in up here. And its ice wasn't ready to go. And so this ice came crashing in from the Elkhorn and got jammed up here against the Platte River ice that wouldn't move and created a jam and started backing up water. So we had that afternoon, we had been working with the contractor. We had him on the way because we knew this rainfall was coming and all that. So the guy was here that afternoon and was out getting ready, and we were preparing and getting the blasting together, getting the station set up, and had everything ready to go that evening, by that evening to start the next morning. And by the next morning, go ahead. What happened was we had a big slug of ice come down the Platte and the Elkhorn Moor. And it just overwhelmed this area. It shoved that ice jam out on its own. There was so much water and ice, so much power. It's unbelievable. But this is the Elkhorn again, and here's the Platte over here. This actually is the island, and you can see water. This is what we call Vinslow's Island, the point of the two rivers come together right here. But water is even coming across right across that island. And what it's doing, here is our Western Sharpie levee that the Corps built and we're maintaining. This is not a 100-year levee. It's a 50-year levee. It was intentionally built not to be 100 years, so we didn't see development in this floodplain out here. But it is pouring over. It was designed to do that. Because the intent of this levee, and there's one on the Sir Creek side in Saunders, is to give us enough time to get an ice jam blasted and also to take some overflows for ice events.
And Marlin?
Yes.
Vinslow Island, so is that, it was like Hugh Street right above that?
It's up here actually,
okay.
5 miles.
Okay.
About 5 miles, yeah.
So that Vinslow's south of Q.
Yes.
Okay, I know where
you're so right. Where the buildings are is about halfway between this point here and Q Street.
Okay.
This is about 5 miles down. Those are about 2.5 miles down into the Vinslow's Island area. The NRD actually, as a part of this project, bought the lower 2.5 miles of this island. It's really a peninsula, as part of this project to mitigate for impact on endangered species. The least turn, piping, plover, and pallet sturgeon. So we actually own that. The NRD owns it. But what I wanted to point out here is water, you can see, is pouring over this levee. And we had some really severe flows here, and I'll show you a little more about that. We had an area right in here where we were probably the closest to breaching, but this levee did not breach. It took some good overtopping, but it did not breach. Again, the grass did one heck of a job. Go ahead. But here shows where I was showing you that we almost breached is right in here. And this is the river here and water rolling over the top. And here's a little cavern right out here. It just got wiped and pretty much destroyed. You can see there's a lot of debris. But we actually have in this area, because of this cabin being close here and them not moving out, they were given a choice. The Corps built a sheet pile wall here. Go ahead. And this is it. I'm standing, and the levee top is right here. So the river is on my right. This is on the ground. This cabin is right here, a mess. And you can just see all the trees and all the debris. This is a sheet pile wall with a concrete cap that was put in for about 100-foot length here. And that really did the job of holding this levee. Normally, they would have put flatter slopes back here and longer slopes, and it would have impacted taking the cabin out, and that's why this particular design was done by the Corps here. And did the job here, although there's some damage here that has to be repaired. And again, this is 100% repaired by the Corps, so we're leaving that for them. But we're out here cleaning up all of this trash. I'd say we're a month of work just cleaning. Our guys are doing it, cleaning up the all the trees, all the debris that came down with this. Go ahead. One of the things in that cabin, by the way, was just off this photo. This is looking at a plan view of this general area. The cabin was right up here. But John mentioned me taking some pictures and getting schooled up on this. And these little stars, this weather, by the way, is the center line of the levee is here in this aerial photo. And, of course, the river is out here. There's a little sandbar up here at the river bank here. These stars that you see is where I took pictures. These numbers here relate to how many feet above Highway 6. This area there's 20,000 feet, or around 4 miles, I mean, above Lenoma Beach. That's where this is, north of Lenoma Beach and Highway 6. So what I wanted to show here is we had some severe bank erosion in this area. Next slide. And this is the area, and we've just got sheer wall bank. The levee is here. It used to be, this bank used to be 200 feet out here. And go to the next picture. I got a picture of Bill here just to give you a little idea of the height. All the current here is unbelievable and eroding, and we think is really endangering the levee over here. You can see in the background there's a power pole here, and actually on the other side there was a power pole as well. But we lost so much bank here, but we didn't only, that it's kind of unbelievable. Just to give you a little better perspective of that, go for the next photo. This was, John mentioned Joe Raby. He's our GIS guy and one of our surveyors, and he recognized that this is a photo that Martin Cleveland happened to be out on the levee last August and took a picture here. And right on, and this is a station marker, so we know I was telling you the 200 plus 00. This one, I think, says 198 plus 00. This is a cabin that was actually raised as part of our project. We had to do that. I took a picture last week. This is the picture I took last week. That picture is at the same exact location. This little right-of-way marker reading 198 is right there. That powerful. Right. This flood and this water, this ice, so powerful. Go back to the other photo if you don't believe me. This is how great it looks in August. And that's what it looks like today. This is the photos, those two photos. The Corps was saying, we can't really see the problem until I send them those two photos. And they go, oh, we see, we understand that, what the issue is and the erosion. Because they didn't have time to send somebody out. I think that's the photo. So that just gives you a little idea of some of the issues and the repairs that we're spending money on.
Thanks, Marlon.
Any questions?
Okay, thanks a lot. Mm-hmm.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marlon.
Did they receive back?
I don't think it matters since you approved it now. It's not confidential.
Pictures, are you going to send me? Are you going to send me some pictures?
No, I haven't adjourned yet. Shut up. Item 14.
See, I never got that.
Informational item. We're not for it yet.
Sorry.
Item 14, informational items. Please note Saturday, Earth Day at Elmwood Park. 28th birthday at Sarpy County. John Weiss, you going to be able to visit Sarpy County Earth Day?
When is that?
That's April 28th. I don't think they need
I to... should be able to.
All right. Well, it's indoors.
Okay. I got a doctor's appointment. I don't know the 29th. But yeah, I can make that.
But it's really low-key. I don't think we have a booth for that, do we?
I don't think
so. No. It's not quite enough, Elwood, but please note.
I will mark that date.
All right. Please note the other meetings. Item 15, we are adjourned.